Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon, and this is the Verbringen every Tuesday from 1 to 2 in the afternoon on Chai FM. Thank you for joining us on the 25th of Cheshvan, 26th of November. Big day, big week, big year, big life. Lots going on, lots to unpack. I want to begin my show by dedicating it in the memory of the Chabad rabbi in the UAE, Rabbi Tzvi Kogan, who was brutally murdered, was buried last night in the Holy Land. And may the messages that we bring about today be in his merit and in all our merit. And may we learn the lesson, because that's the first message that comes across, not only from his sacrifice, but the incredible amount of sacrifice of so many, especially in the last 13, 14 months, close to 2,000 Jewish souls, citizens, soldiers, killed from October 7th, and quite a few besides soldiers, many people killed in terrorist attacks after, many before. Right? It's the first message is that darkness is fought with light. It's the first message. And it's a message we all know, but we often have to reiterate with to ourselves and repeat and almost build this immune system that says, yes, the heart is sore. Yes, it's devastating when we hear of tragedy, when we hear of pain, when we hear of suffering. But fundamentally, we bounce back. That's just what we do. It's in our DNA. We're constantly bouncing back, right? Let's think of the Torah portions we're reading in the last few weeks. We read about Abraham and Sarah, Avram and Sarah. God tells him to leave his home and go to a wonderful promised land. He arrives and he finds a famine. Teaches goodness and kindness, but then he has to chase away his own child, Ishmael. He begs Hashem to save Sodom and Gomorrah, and the next morning they're exterminated. He commits the ultimate act of self-surrender to Hashem, almost to give away his only child, only to come home to find his beloved wife had died. Well, that's one way of reading the story. But what's the story that every Jewish child knows? We know the story of Avram that stood up against the whole world. We are the stars in the sky that God showed him would be his. We speak about his faithfulness. We speak about a man who changed course of history. And we learn from him the incredible gift of resilience. Not just him. Not just his wife. But all our matriarchs and patriarchs, and all our great heroes, were people that went through the valley of the shadow of death, and they felt God with them, and they came out stronger. That is what we do. We fight darkness with light. And for me, you know, there's obviously the horror of terrorism and what it does, and that's what terrorism is there to do. It's to create, to do minimum damage with maximum impact. But one of the things that boggles my mind is how terrorists around the world still think that you could take down the Jewish people through acts of terror. Did they not realize that ever since October 7th, the Jewish pride, the Jewish unity, the Jewish clarity is stronger? Do you really think that when you got punched, the Jewish people that we lay down on the floor and go to sleep? Have you not studied one lesson in history? It's ironic often that when we don't get the gut punches, that's when a lot of the infighting and the self-destruction takes place. Think of Israel before October 7th and all the chaos and all the infighting. And it's almost like if the enemy stays aside and doesn't bother the Jew then runs the risk of causing their own incredible damage. But when, for whatever reason, the anti-Semite can control their passion for Jewish blood, and they do something, large or small, there's always the exact same result. They wake up a giant. When you wake up a giant, it's a whole different story. So whether it's Tzvi Kogan in the UAE, whether it's soldiers killed, just this morning, another one. Whether it's a personal struggle that we go through in our life, in our DNA, is the incredible ability of not just bouncing back, but like a trampoline, you jump onto it and then you bounce even higher than where you jumped for originally. So can we see that? Can we see within ourselves the ability to climb higher? Can we see ourselves the ability to ascend? The ability to discover deeper levels of ourself? That doesn't mean that we should welcome tragedy or welcome pain, heaven forbid. There's nothing beautiful about it. But we also know how to react. We've been trained over countless generations that when it hurts, we grow stronger. That when they destroy, we build even more. That when there's fear, we overcome the fear, we walk through the fear. And we do something even more bold than had we done if we didn't have the fear. We don't get afraid and allow that fear to destroy us. We get afraid, but we never allow the fear to be stronger than us. The moment the fear is stronger than you, you cannot go ahead. Here in South Africa, we know that, right? For generations, they've been telling us, oh, there's 3 years left. 3 years left for the lights to go out and it's all over. Why would you build a Jewish school? Oh, it's time to consolidate. Why would you build a shul? No, it's time to consolidate. Why would you try to build up Jewish infrastructure? It's time to consolidate. It's time to start closing the lights. It's time to bring everyone together. And while those arguments often sound very well-meaning and beautiful, they avoid a huge point, and that is, are you saying it's over? Really? In the 60s, they already were saying it's over. Almost every major Jewish organization that's flourishing today, not more than 50%, was built since 1960, if not more than 50, much more than 50%. Most of the wealthy people in our community have earned their money long after people said there's nothing left in commerce. I mean, I know many people, friends, community members, who have done phenomenally well financially or in other areas of their life in the last 5 years while everyone says it's over. This idea of seeing a challenge as a reason to give up is so antithetical to our identity. We don't dance that too. We bounce higher. Every time we get a punch, we bounce higher. It's the way we do things. We don't know how to cave in. We don't know how to buckle. That's not the world we live in. We don't do it that way. And we should never think of doing it that way. So that's my first message as we go through today's show. To be able to see the future, to be able to tackle darkness with light. Just before the show started, we played a song called Avarti B'Choshech. I went through the dark by Shmulek Sukkot. And in Hebrew, the lyrics is, I want to go back to my darkness and see how it brought me so much light. I'll see that the days I walk through darkness literally brighten my current reality.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and this is our show on Tuesday on Chai FM, the Farbringen Show. Thank you for joining us. And today we're talking about the contrast of light over darkness in memory of the late Rabbi Tzvi Kogan, who was murdered in the UAE Thursday. And also in anticipation of the upcoming Chag. The upcoming Chag is Hanukkah. Every year when it comes this time of the year, I find myself saying, sometimes against my better judgment, that one of the hardest adjustments moving from the United States to South Africa, from the Northern Hemisphere to the Southern Hemisphere, to be fair, is when Hanukkah is a non-event or a very little event versus the Northern Hemisphere, where Hanukkah is a deep winter, short nights. You're lighting the menorah at 4 in the afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon. It's freezing. It's snowing outside. It has a full-on experience. There's a flavor to Hanukkah that over here in the Southern Hemisphere, it just doesn't have the same flavor. And it's almost impossible to recreate. It's long nights. You're only lighting the menorah way after 7 p.m., around 7 p.m., whatever, and Cape Town even later. And it's not cold outside. It's actually sunny. And often Hanukkah is deep in December, like this year. It's starting on the 25th. And you're lighting it late at night. You were sitting in, you know, on the beach the whole day. You're in holiday. It's warm outside. You're not like, you know, sitting around the menorah more. You're just chilling on the porch. It's a different energy. And for 14 years living here, I've been trying to figure out how to bridge that. I can't say I've had a smashing success. Hanukkah, a big part of it is the feeling. But regardless of the fact that Hanukkah over here is later at night and it's in the summer, the message of Hanukkah is the same. Maybe the feeling is different, but the message is the same. And the message of Hanukkah, which is one of the greatest of holidays, is light over darkness. It's the holiday of lights, Chag Ha'urim, the holiday of lights. We celebrate it by making a bracha, Shekichanu v'mitzvotav, etzivanu lahadlik, ner shel Chanukah, or ner Chanukah, and the Chanukah candles. We make a big fuss over the Chanukah candles. Candles, ideally even oil. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's very few Chagim in our calendar that are that long. Sukkot is 7 days plus 2 days after Shmini Atzeres and Westar, which are not really part of Sukkot, but let's say 8 max. Pesach in the Northern Hemisphere, sorry, outside the land of Israel, in the diaspora is 8 days, and Israel 7 days. Hanukkah all around the world, 8 days. So when Hanukkah is already competing with Pesach and Sukkot in its length, you already understand what kind of category Hanukkah is. It's 8 days. 8 days of Hallel, of praising Hashem. 8 days of saying the Va'al HaNisim in our benching. And what's the message of this beautiful Chag? Joy. No, joy, yes. But the main message is light. Or light, fighting darkness with light, understanding how powerful a small, tiny candle is. And the mitzvah is to light it dafka when it's nightfall or close to night between different customs, but as the sun is setting. And it's supposed to light up the outside. Many people have a custom to do it by their door or by their window. Why? Because the goal of light is you see this huge sky around you. It's all dark. And you have a tiny flicker, a solitary candle. And God's telling us that that solitary candle is consuming all that darkness. Light is much more potent than darkness. So when you look around the world and you see so much pain, so much struggle, and you think to yourself, I only have a small little light. What can possibly can I do? Me? How can I fight this? It's stronger than anything. I'm weak in comparison. God says, strike the match. Strike the match. Put on tefillin. You might sit there saying, wow, there's a group of terrorists out there that's planning something evil. I'm going to put on tefillin. Is that seriously an unequal battle? And God says, obviously, protect yourself. Obviously, thank God for the army. Thank God for CSO. And thank God for all these agencies that take care of our physical safety. But don't think that that's the only factor. There's another factor as powerful, maybe even more powerful, and that is the power of light. To realize that spirituality is infinite, and therefore an act of spirituality, which is infinite, is larger than any act of physicality, which is finite. In other words, the biggest group of terrorists, the biggest group of evil, the biggest group of darkness, fundamentally, they're still physical. They're living within this physical reality, and all their ideas and their schemes and their malice and malevolence are all within this physical reality. But when someone does a mitzvah, when someone does a good deed, when someone taps into the world of spirituality, they're touching infinity. And infinity literally, by definition, means it's no start, no finish. You're touching a power that is infinitely greater than the biggest finite thing. Right? Often when we think of infinity, we think of a million plus. No, infinity is not even one. It's not like it starts at one and goes on forever. It doesn't start at one. The whole thing is infinite from beginning to end, and there is no beginning and there is no end. The entire thing is infinity. So in other words, when we tap into a mitzvah, light a Shabbos candle, light a Hanukkah candle, put on a pair of tefillin, eat a piece of kosher food and make a bracha, learn some Torah, put up a mezuzah in our home, go to mikveh, whatever mitzvah we do, we're literally ripping through the wall that blocks physical and spiritual. We're ripping through it, and we're bringing a drop of spiritual into this physical world. And at that moment, we've brought infinity into this reality. And when you bring infinity into reality, you are more powerful than the most powerful being on this world, because infinity versus finite is not even a competition. A small chapter of Tehillim. Small prayer. Going and buying a book, a Torah book, and reading it. All these things are transcendent. Loving a fellow Jew, doing something for somebody else, chesed, avat Yisrael, inviting somebody for a Friday night meal. At that moment, you've punched your hand into the spiritual dimension and ripped through that veneer, ripped through that wall, ripped through that curtain that divides physical and spiritual. And you've almost sucked in spirituality into this world. You've downloaded holiness into this world. You've downloaded godliness. And when you download godliness and God's at your side, it's a different dimension. So yes, we have to do what we have to do physically to protect ourselves and financially to support what we need to do, the various security organizations. But we should never think that we're only living in the physical world. This is God's world. And in God's world, the spiritual is more important, or at least as important as the physical. And when you're putting on tefillin this morning and doing it with intention, at that moment, you will never know, but it's very possible that you saved a life somewhere else on earth. You saved your own life. Who knows? I believe that, after 120, when we pass away and we go, one of the things that God shows us is what we really accomplished in this world. When we did good, what we accomplished. When we did the opposite of good, unfortunately, what we did. But the point is, while we're physical human beings in the physical world, we don't get to see what we're really accomplishing. Yeah, we could see our bank accounts. We could see our physical health. We could see those things, but we don't really know the impact we're having on this world and what difference we're making. We don't have a clue. But the believer, the person of faith, even if they don't know what they're doing, they know that they're doing something. In other words, when I'm putting on film this morning, I knew that I am bringing light to myself and into the world. Besides the fact that I'm doing what Hashem wants of me, and that's fundamentally the main reason. But I'm illuminating this world. When we're sitting here and talking words of Torah, for those listening, obviously, hopefully we're having some form of connection and impact. But even for the people who will never hear the show, I believe that by talking words of Torah and light into this world, especially on the radio platform, which could go anywhere and everywhere, we're adding particles of light into this world. And that can be the tipping point. That can be the tipping point of light over darkness. I don't know what it is. And I'll never fully know, at least as long as I'm alive in this world, of what you and I are accomplishing as we do this together. But I have zero doubt that something's being accomplished, much more than simply the words that are being shared and listened to. So go on and do a mitzvah. Be the smallest thing. Send a message to someone who you know has not received much love today. An older, lonely person. Doesn't have to be older, but someone lonely. A family member that maybe you and them are not exactly tight. And just a simple message. Hi, thinking about you. How are you? Sending love and care. That's so much. It's so easy. And it's so impactful. And we're here in this world to make an impact.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon on 101.9 High FM.
Spread out, spread light, spread love all around the world. Was that song? I just went to research it because I wanted to know when it was composed. I said a year ago. It was actually shorter. Came out the 9th of July. And it's based on a verse that we're going to read, not this week's Torah portion, next week's Torah portion. Ufaratzta, God tells Jacob in his dream, the famous dream with the ladder, Ufaratzta, you'll break out, Yama Vakedma, west and east, Safona Vanegba, north and south. And that line was very much a guiding light to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because of the murder of Tzvi Kogan last week, but also what's happening this weekend. Thousands of Chabad rabbis all around the world are coming to New York for the annual conference. The fact that it's happening just a few days, literally the conference starts tomorrow, and the funeral of Tzvi was yesterday, is not being missed on any of the attendees. Everyone is very aware. Although I personally never met Tzvi, I don't think so, at least. We were on the same mission, and we're committed to the same purpose, and we're part of the same army. Use the word army because that's where we are. We're going out to the world and spread out, spread light, spread love all around the world. And that's really the message, the greatest way of honoring his memory and all the memories of the almost 2,000 souls that have been taken from us in the last 2 years, is faratzta. Spread out even more. Do something out of yourself. It doesn't only mean spread out to the rest of the world and go to some exotic place, although I'll tell you a small little nugget that happened in the last year. I have a cousin. I have lots of cousins. And one of my cousins was a Chabad rabbi in China for close to 2 decades. And after COVID, you know, as you know, it was a pretty hectic lockdown in China. And his community basically disappeared, and came the end of COVID. And after everything they've been through, there was nothing to build. His whole community had disintegrated. So what would you do? Him, his wife, and 11 children at this stage. In other words, it's no longer a small little family. Most Chabad rabbis that start off, they start with one kids, two kids, three kids, 11 kids. What would you do? Okay, time to wrap it up, right? We tried China. We were there for 20 years, 15 years, whatever. Move back. He's an Israeli, so let's move back to Israel. No, that's not what he did. For the many South Africans going to Phuket this year, you might bump into my cousin because the Chabad rabbi of China is now in Phuket. There's a few Chabad rabbis in Phuket. The one that many of you will meet will be the one dealing with tourists, but my cousin's more dealing with the local community. His name is Avrami Greenberg. And that's the mission. The mission is to go out and spread lights. But as I was saying, it's not only about going to exotic places like from China to Phuket, or another cousin of mine who's actually the niece of this fellow from Phuket. She grew up in Alaska. There's not a lot of Haredis in Alaska, right? And she decided, no, that's not exotic enough. So her and her husband are the Chabad rabbi of our next door neighbor. Not next door, but two doors down, Zambia. Yep, they're living in Lusaka. But it doesn't only have to be exotic. The point of Ufaratzda is to spread out beyond your comfort zone and do something for the Jewish people. If it means going and volunteering in security, if it means going and learning Torah with somebody out of your comfort zone, it means stretching yourself. Stretching yourself, doing something big. Some people spend their whole life just afraid of the world, afraid of going out of their comfort zone, afraid of walking out of their from little, you know, cocoon, afraid of just doing anything. And the message is for us to go out. When there's so much darkness in the world, you don't cower in fear. You go and you fight with light, you become warriors. Tzivot Hashem, the army of Hashem, is the way God refers to us when we left Egypt. A bunch of slaves that were literally released 5 minutes ago. And what do they call Tzivot Hashem? The military of God. Because we're in war. And if the last year hasn't shown you, then what will? That there is this huge tectonic war that's going on between light and darkness as we speak. Between fools and evil people on one side. Unfortunately, foolishness leads to evil. And between the wise and the light on the other. And for many of us, up to a year ago, we didn't realize that there was such a divide, there was such a contrast. Oh, do we realize it now? You have to be blind not to realize it. Right? Think of a character like Douglas Murray. I know this community, and many of us are huge fans of this guy. Non-Jewish fellow, but what's in the last year, we suddenly realized, oh, wow, there's a person with clarity and with a breath of fresh air with somebody that has wisdom and goodness. And what a nightmare when people are foolish and dark, literally have corrupted worldviews where they cannot tell what's good and what's evil. So spread out, spread light. Spread love all around the world. Why? Because first of all, what's the other choice? And second of all, that's our mandate. And I want to finish off today's show by wishing each and every one of us that we should see ourselves as emissaries of light, ambassadors of light, menorahs. We're all walking menorahs. Okay? We're all walking menorahs, and our job is to illuminate the light. And how do you do it? By strengthening your faith. Emuna and bitachon. Faith, trust in Hashem. And that's why I'm going to finish off today's show with another song called Emuna Bitachon Geula. It's based on the mantra of, you might remember a few years ago, there was this fellow in prison in America, Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin, totally trumped up charges, did something small and became literally a lifetime sentence, some crazy story. And then President Trump at the time released him from prison in the last day of Hanukkah after 8 years of absolute a nightmare. And he would often say the Aleph Beis Gimel, Emuna, faith, bitachon, trust, Gimel leads to the Geula, leads to the redemption, the private redemption, and the big redemption. So if you want to break out and have your own redemption, work on your faith. If you're anxious, stressed out, and feeling like the world's caving in on you, come back to faith. So that's what this song is, Emunah Bitachon Geula, sung by Benny Freeman. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Yatz, and thank you for joining us. Please God, many more shows in good health, and may we only be able to come back and report good stuff to each other. Surah Tovot, only good news. Have a great day.